Okay. I am trying not to be nervous. I don't know why I'm so nervous, but I asked Piper this afternoon. I feel on edge, but I'm trying not to be nervous. And Piper shows me a lot of stuff. So I asked her, I said, "Are you ever nervous?" She said, "Well, if I see a big spider or a worm." And I thought, I need to look at that as this is a spider or a worm, because to me that's something small and something big to her. So, it was probably about a year ago. God has really been bringing things to me and highlighting different things, and I see something and it's just like stars start to connect in my mind. And he told me a long time ago to start writing stuff down, and I didn't do that. And Brother Presley the other day said a word, and I could hear God in my head saying, "You have till Sunday, or I'm giving it to somebody else." So I thought, okay, we'll do it. And I did it, and I wrote it all down, and I gave it to Sister Sherry, and Josh said, "You're not supposed to do that." And I thought, well, I did what I was supposed to do, and I wrote it down, and it's out of my hands. And he said, "That's not the way that God works." And so here I am. So God has been dealing with me because I was not raised here. So a lot of things, I feel like I'm on ground zero. I feel like a lot of you guys know a lot more than what I do. And how blessed that you guys are to have friends this great number. And me, you know, I only had a few little friends growing up in the day. And how I would long to have this instead of what I had. But sometimes we all have to walk these walks and we don't know why. But I just got to keep walking. So, and I, you know, tell the Lord all the time, you know, I need to know how I'm supposed to be a parent. I need to know how I'm supposed to be a wife. I need to know how I'm supposed to be a friend. I need to know all this stuff. And so it was like, almost like if I did something or if I snapped at one of my kids, it was like, okay, well, what kind of example are you setting? Every single time everything was done, or if I jumped onto one of my kids for doing something, and it was like, well, you know, if you were here, that wouldn't have been a problem. You know, if you show them how you're supposed to do, you're supposed to be that example. You won't have this problem. So I looked up the word example, and it says a thing characteristic of its kind or illustrating a general rule. And I just thought, you know, an example was just to show, well, I guess it makes sense, to show somebody something or show somebody how you're supposed to act, show somebody how you're supposed to partake in this, or show somebody how to play a game, or whatever the case may be. Now, it also speaks of, and I'm sorry if I read everything off of here because I don't want to forget anything. And under example, it said, make an example of. And that definition was punish as a warning to others. So if you, you know somebody that gotten in trouble or something, and, you know, you hear that phrase, you know, they're going to make an example of you. They're going to make an example out of you. That means they're going to throw the book at you, per se. And you're going to get in a lot more trouble than, you know, what one would think, because they're trying to make an example not to do this. That's how I took it, anyway. And then there's for example. And that said, used to introduce something chosen. And my mind went straight to Jesus. Because he was chosen. I asked God to let me cry earlier, so I didn't do it tonight. I don't think it's going to happen. I thought of Jesus because he was chosen to do all this stuff. He didn't just, you know, I mean, if you think about it, all the stuff that he went through, could you bring yourself to that and say, yeah, I want to do that? No, you don't, because it's scary. But anyway, so what God brings to me is, are you being used as a good or a bad example? Being chosen by God is to be called is the ultimate gift anyone could ever receive. In the Bible, God chose many to do his work, of which he made examples out of. whether those examples to show us this is what to do or this is not what to do. This is the consequence for doing something good. This is the consequence for doing something bad. We make the choice of what kind of example we're going to be used as ultimately. You have that small voice in your head that says, no, you probably better not do that. And if you do it anyway, you either, one, feel guilty, or you get caught and you're in trouble. And it's just like, well, why did I do that? You know, dieting, for example, to be on a strict diet, it's like, because I'm trying to be. And it's like, if I eat something that I'm not supposed to eat, I feel guilty. And it's like, well, I shouldn't have done that, because now I have to start right back over. If you are trying to witness to somebody and, you know, you get frustrated or you get mad, and you're trying to be this humble person and you're trying to be this calm person to show them the good, because if you act bad, then, you know, that kind of just voids everything and you got to start all back over. So, to me, God showed me that we are to glorify Him with everything that happens in our lives, whether it's good or bad. I've had a lot of bad stuff come my way, a lot, this last year, and as long as I look at the positive side of everything, it seems to be easier to get through it. But if we choose to do things on our own and not look for God's help, an example, and this is the only thing I could think of, because I seen it with myself when I first got saved. It says, maybe praying earnestly about something, maybe even several different things and at different times, and God answering all of them, which that happened when I first got saved. And I like to tell people I got both the cleansings, because before I was saved, I'd pray and He answered everything. And then I realized I wasn't saved, and God, to me, was showing me how real He was. So, people that I worked with saw that I would pray about something that had happened. And so, I almost started to feel like, well, maybe I'm special. You know, maybe I'm this special person that He's going to use. And then things came crashing down. Instead of giving the glory back to God, we claim it like as if we had some sort of power. And then someone coming to you asking you to do this or to do that based on what you've led ones to believe, then you call on God for help and make an example out of you, nothing happens, and then you just look like a joke. You look like, you know, you spoke about God, you spoke about church, you spoke about this, and you prayed about all this stuff, and you acted like you had some gift of getting your prayers answered, and then, you know, well, where's your God now? And then that will play in your mind. Well, that is a good question. You know, did I do something wrong? Or, you know, maybe it wasn't real. I don't know. You know, and to be 31 and to learn a lot of stuff that I was taught as a child is not true, I'm, like, very weary of everything now. So, when that stuff happens, you would look foolish or even jeopardize other souls. And then when you get to heaven, you have to answer to, kind of like Moses, you know, I told you to speak to the rock and you smote it, like you had some sort of power. You know, he didn't get to make it to the promised land of that whole journey like he was supposed to. That's why he was supposed to take the people out of slavery. And but now, you know, now he doesn't get to go there. So to me, that was, he was making an example out of for us to read about. This is what happens when you want to take this on yourself. So Moses, unfortunately, it cost him the promised land. Or Judas giving Jesus up to the chief priest, talks about in Matthew, knowing right away the wrong he had done. He knew right away the wrong that he had done. I've seen, that's a movie, The Passion of the Christ, only because when I got saved, like, I wanted to know everything right now. And that doesn't always happen. But it spoke to me the way, in that particular scene, the way Judas had looked to Jesus, and the look that Jesus gave back to him, is Judas knew right away what wrong he did. Sometimes choices we make, God will come and have you feel that guilt, knowing you probably shouldn't have. Judas tried to take the wrong he had done back. But as we know, sometimes when actions are done or words are said, we can't take them back. But Judas could not live with himself knowing Jesus, the Son of God, was being killed because of the choice he had made. Being made an example of, punished as a warning to others, us who read the story, coming against God's people, being one with God, evil will not prevail. And one of the scriptures that came to me and I've used a lot is Jeremiah 1 and 19. It says, "And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee." And I know, I've been in several things to where, you know, my husband is like, you know, why are you so calm about this? What, you know, you don't, have you prayed, you know, all this stuff. And it's just like, I take my hands off the wheel and everything just works out the way God wanted it to work. There's no other explaining it, how, there's no other explaining of how things have happened. Knowing the truth, we are supposed to be setting the example inside and outside for the world. Inside, speaking of inside the church, you know, the older ones, the elderly, they set the example for my group. My group is supposed to set the example for you guys. You guys set the example for the junior church, and the junior church sets the example for the babies. The way that my baby on Wednesday nights looks up there at those little kids singing, he is so happy. He is so happy. And that is the way kids, babies are supposed to be. But you guys are supposed to be happy to see the good works that we do, the example we set. No, don't go here. No, don't go there. No, I don't go here because I don't want any question. Not that it's sinful, but I don't want to make any room for anyone to question what I do. In my opinion, whether you're saved or not, being saved, not saved, being raised here, you still are being chosen to walk a certain way, whether you're saved or not. You're raised here in the church, and to me, if I had somebody that was raised a certain way, maybe that could have been a glimmer of something instead of doing what I wanted to do as a child. So I think that we were chosen to set an example by God and giving you the parents that you have, the ones that are in church, the ones that are faithful, the ones that, you know, bring everything before God. And sometimes, you know, it's like I made the comment, you know, I feel like a lot of young people, myself when I was there included, 18 was the big number. 18, I get to be an adult. I get to do whatever I want. Well, I'm 33 and I don't want to do whatever I want. I don't want to live like that because it's done nothing but, you know, it's messed a lot of things up. But I'm here now, thank the Lord. He had bigger plans for me. Thankfully, I could hear that. So when you start thinking of examples in the Bible, the prime example being Jesus was for everyone on earth to follow. Right. Jesus gave plenty of examples to look at or even to lean on. Being tempted, he was by the devil, and he kept it between God and God's word. If you don't give any slack in between God and his word, the devil has no chance for you. I mean, and I've learned that. Showing love, even when we don't think of it, even when we don't think it could ever be possible, somebody done something wrong to you, we're still supposed to love that person, and we're still supposed to show that person, I do love you, and I'm looking past this. You were forgiven before any of it ever took in place. Patience, that's pretty much through everything. Boldness, of course, where it counts, you just can't walk out there and start taking everybody on because somebody out there you're not going to be prepared for. I had a situation with a family member that had been building up. For whatever reason, I wasn't hanging out with them anymore. I wasn't drinking anymore. I wasn't doing whatever I could do to make it to their cookouts and shindigs is what they call it. And that person started to grow this it almost felt like hatred when it all exploded. And this person really, I thought, you know, okay, well, I'm doing what God wants me to do. You know, I'm just going to tell him this is it. And he really made me feel small. And I was not ready for that. So then you question everything. But Jesus' boldness was the woman with the mob of people around her. The one that committed adultery, and everybody stood around her getting ready to stone her to death. And that's when Jesus started writing in the sand. What he was doing was writing everybody else's sins, not hers. So it's like, when I first came to church and I got saved, you know, I thought, well, you know, I wasn't really a bad person. You know, I didn't think, anyway, until God, well, what about this when you were 16? Or what about this when you were 13? And all these different things that I now have to go back to and face, because I feel that that's what he told me to do. Things that I would have never thought of, you know. When you get saved, all of your sins are forgiven, like Brother Decker said. I've got way too many out there, and by him showing me these little things, I know that there's a lot of them out there. Fearful times. This is when Jesus called to God in the garden. I'm sure he was petrified of what was about to happen. But he called to God, like we're supposed to do, and it works. Following the will of God. Now, Jesus knew the pain and suffering that was to come, and anybody in their right mind would have ran the other way, knowing what they were about to go through. I mean, if you think about it, if you know that there's these people that are, you know, coming after you with a baseball bat, and if you stop and you know what they're going to do, that's pretty scary to think about. But Jesus kept walking because God gave him that assurance that he was going to be there with him. And he knew the reward. Jesus was the example, illustrating a general rule for mankind. All we have to do is follow the rules. The Bible gives us many of rules. There are the Ten Commandments, but all throughout the Bible there's many different commandments, and they could speak to us all differently. But those, when they're shown to you, those are now rules that God's given you to follow, which I'm learning. You know, a lot of times when they're in Sunday school, or I think it's even been done while preaching, you know, and they say, you know, the story of Arab, you know, you all know that story, and it's like, I don't know that story. So that, I mark that down. Okay, I need to read about this, because I want to know. I just want to be knowledgeable, I mean, for my kids, for one, and for situations that I'm going to get into, for two. Following the rules. I know my kids, when they go to school, for some reason they think, I mean, well, it's a good reason that they're scared to get in trouble, because they have rules to follow. And that's a good trait. But they follow those rules. On a sports team, you have rules everyone follows. In the grocery store, there's rules. I mean, you can't just take whatever you want to take. On the road, we have rules. We have laws, actually, on the road. And those aren't so hard to follow. So why is the Bible?
Right.
God gave other good examples all throughout the Bible as well, like Jonah. He tried to run away from God. But once you have that relationship with God and know the good that is from it, it's hard to forget it or him. But God dealt with Jonah, and he knew what he had to do, so he listened. And look what happened. An example was set, and a whole city got saved over right. One person listening to what God told him to do.
Right.
It's just like, just think of this. This the city of Columbus, or just as small as Hanover is, could you imagine you doing one act or you saying one thing and that whole little village or city got saved? Like, it's hard for me to think of that. It's hard for me to fathom going and talking to just this number and thinking, you know, if this was a city and just because I'm up here, you know, everybody got saved. It's crazy to think about that, but that's what happened with Jonah, all because he listened. But Jonah was also taught love and mercy and how it can change others. plenty of other good examples was Abel. That's a good example. Noah, Peter, Stephen, even the man possessed with demons was used as a good example. And that's, to me, you know, coming from my past, those are scary books of the Bible. Those are scary stories of the Bible to me. But that was used in such a good way. And once you take your mind to the good of it, God will use it. I've been on the outside looking in and how things could have been so different and even easier of a life for me, for my kids. But I'm here now and I'm thankful for that. God has been so real in my life, and now that I have a relationship with God, He is teaching me how He wants that example to be used. Jeremiah 20:11 says, "But the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore, my prosecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten." And that's very good, especially when, you know, a lot of times it's my family. You know, I can call my dad up, and it's like instantly he has an attitude with me, and I haven't even done anything. You know, so it's just like, well, I'm just I'll call you back tomorrow or something. You know, and it's just that easy. Okay, bye. Okay, see you later. But I didn't give him any room to tear me down.
Right.
Jeremiah 20:13 says, "Sing unto the Lord, praise ye the Lord, for he hath delivered the souls of the poor from the hand of the evil doers. Without the Lord, we have nothing. Sure, you may have material things, but it is never enough. You're never satisfied." To me, coming from where I come from, that's a poor life. And so thankful I don't have to be poor any longer. I want God to use me as an example to help others. I've been through a lot, even saved. I've questioned why, Lord, and it's been shown, so I could bring an example to somebody else, to help others keep their face towards God. You can be the one who keeps their head up looking towards God, or one who looks down while walking, and usually when you hang your head down to walk, you'll trip and stumble, even fall. So that's why we always have to keep our head up and keep walking straight. So that is what God has brought to me, as being a good example or being a bad example, inside the church, outside of the church. You know, I've been shown a lot. I've seen ones outside the church, and I thought, well, you know, that's okay. I make a marker in my mind. You know, I don't want to do that. My Luke, he's got a very carelessness about holding his tongue, and you know, we had ran into somebody outside of church, and they looked very different outside of church. And Luke went straight up to them and was like, "What are you doing? You're a Christian, and we don't dress like that." And it was just like, okay, you know, if I could be like Luke, you know what I mean? Sometimes that boldness has to take place. But this is what God has shown me about being an example, and I just wanted to share it with you guys.
So I'm reminded, while Sister Stacy was speaking, we all have experienced in school when you're learning mathematical equations, how to work something out, the teacher will do what on the board? Will write an example, a problem, sample problem, show you exactly how to work it out, and you get your notebooks out, and you write it down. She's shown you how to work this problem. And so I was reminded of a dear chemistry teacher I had in high school, and she was just a sweetheart, and we loved her. And there would be two boards, maybe this size, probably. Okay, and so we would come in, and she would just be furiously writing, and both of them would be full of notes. Completely full of examples and notes, and so you get your notebook out and you're writing. And after a while, she gets to the bottom of the second board and she looks back and she goes, "That's not right," and erases both boards. And my sister said she did the same thing when she got there 2 years later. And I just remember being so frustrated. I just wrote all this down. I thought this was the right example. I thought this was how to do it. And you know, the word tells us we are living epistles.
Right.
Our life is a book or a chalkboard. And we're writing examples. This is how you're supposed to act when somebody makes fun of you. And this is how you're supposed to act when you're tempted to cheat. And this is how you're supposed to act when your parents tell you to do something and you don't like it. And guess what? There's a lot of people behind you that are furiously taking notes.
Right.
That's how I'm supposed to do it.
Amen.
Young people, we don't want to get to the end of our life and look back at those chalkboards and say, wait a minute, that's not how you do it. Wait a minute, don't write that down. Don't copy me. That's not right. How much better to be able to say, please follow my example. We are living epistles. Sister Stacy has, as she spoke about being examples, so think about her testimony of how God showed her the dress standard. It is an amazing testimony. It is so encouraging. God worked with her, and she has received that from God in a way that nobody can ever take it away from her.
Right.
Her testimony of when that incident happened with Piper and what God's voice was so strong, and he stopped her and he protected her and her little girl. That was a beautiful example of how to listen for God's voice. We are examples, good or bad. Don't be like that chemistry teacher. Get to the end and start erasing. Erasing's great. God's blood washes sins away. You're forgiven. But what about those people that were taking notes, that were coming behind you? What good admonition. I appreciate that so much. Let us stand.